I wanted to start by reading one of my favourite verses, as two words came to mind straight away when Stuart asked me. It wasn't the first time, the second time, probably the third time Stuart's asked me, and I just thought, I need to do it. get it out the way. The two words that came to mind were plan and hope, and also certain memories of photographs also came into mind. So I'm putting some of the photographs up on here. One, to take the attention away from me so you can look at that. So you keep looking at me all the time. But just to keep me on track as well. So I'll just do the reading first of all, and hopefully. So, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I know it's only just one verse being taken out, of a chapter, but we'll just leave it at that one verse. So, to start my journey, going to St. Philip's Church of England Church in Atherton with my mum and my grandma, both who were in the Mothers' Union, and I also went to St. Philip's Church of England School. Both were in, I don't know whether you know in Atherton, but they're on Crosby Street, and that's where I lived. So we had the church, we had the school, and that was our street. So it was very much part of our everyday life, because we used to see people going to church or people going to school, and that's where. And my grandma and granddad lived literally a few streets down, so we all lived together in that area. I went to Sunday school there. We had garden parties, summer fairs, brownies and girl guides. We had discos and dances run by Carlton Catterall. I don't know, some of you remember him from Tilsley, the barber, the hairdresser. He used to come to our church and he did all the discos and things. We did lots of different kinds of church activities. Making talking about church and faith an everyday natural occurrence, because that was our life being at St. Philip's. When I was 11 and in my last year of junior school, like most of my class, I got confirmed, attending the lessons and walking day. And that's me in the middle with two of my good friends who we got confirmed together. That's on a walking day on, I think it's Bolton Road up at the top, near the backer shop, if anybody knows. Again, this was a completely normal and natural thing. We all did it in our class, the majority of us, just so that we could take the bread and wine, not really knowing exactly what we were doing, but we wanted to taste the wine anyway at church. At some point around this time, my dad then started to attend church and he became a born-again Christian, whatever that meant. but that's what he told us what had happened. And that's when life at home changed, as we went to church and did things together as a family, rather than it just being my mum or with my grandma. We had a new curate at St. Philip's, who I thought was very modern, and did things in quite a different way. St. Philip's Church was quite a traditional Church of England, so we did the usual service run. But he started to do things a little bit different. Additional services were held at churches in our locality. One of these was that we used to go to a church in Littleborough, and the preacher, we went this particular evening, the preacher there did the altar call, and I knew when he said, what he said really resonated with me, and I was just in tears in the congregation. I went up to the front with my dad holding my hand, because I was a little bit frightened to go up on my own. Said the prayer to ask for forgiveness and for Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, and the minister then prayed for me. Now, I've always had a bit of a sort of like a hang-up about not knowing exactly when this was, who the preacher was, almost even what he preached on. I've sat in the congregation and heard Geoffrey, you know, everything he knew down to the second, didn't he? You know, exactly when, where, who. And I used to think, oh, actually, I don't really know that. But I just think, you know, does it really matter? Because I used to get hung up about it. But does that really matter? I knew that I'd prayed. I knew I felt different. And I knew it was from the heart. I don't know. I don't even know the year it was. But I remember it was in the early 1980s because that's when I was at high school. And the week after this has happened, I was in one of my geography classes and can clearly remember talking to one of my friends all about it. She was asking me all sorts of questions. Not sure if she was genuinely interested or not, or just thought I was being a bit odd, I don't know. But we talked about it anyway, so I knew it was sort of like in the early 80s. Having conversations about God with other teenagers then wasn't natural at all. So we'd gone from being at Church of England Primary School, where we could talk quite freely. But when you got a little bit older in high school, it wasn't quite as... And I felt quite different from a lot of my friends. From then on, things didn't quite go to plan, or did they? This got me thinking about events that have happened in my life. So I'm going to go back to one of my earliest memories. So this is a photograph. I know I get emotional on this one. Okay, so this is a photograph. This is Deborah, my big sister, in the middle. She was born in 64. Tony to her left, he was born in 66, and then me on this side, I was born in 67. So we were quite close. My mum and dad had us quite close in years, really. So, and this was in my dad's garage. He used to let us play in the garage. Whenever I look at this photograph, it always makes me smile, and I think it's captured our personalities when we were little, just right, really. Deborah, looking beautiful, perfectly poised and very much a lady. Tony, very cute, caring and loving. Holding his little teddy. And then me. Bunch is not quite straight. Pulling up my knickers and I've got a cheeky grin. And that sort of like sums all three of us up, really. In those days, all the children in the area played out in the backs, and even though I was the youngest, I certainly wasn't the quietest. Deborah had a best friend called Alison. She lived back to back with us. Alison's dad had his own names for us all. All the girls got really nice names, like Sally Ann and Mary Jane. I was called Lizzie Mint. So that sort of like, that's stuck with me. So I was always Lizzie Mint. Not long after this photograph, we lost Tony. Although I was only three, I can remember the tragic accident and certain events following it. This was an event in our lives that affected all members of our family in very different ways. And without God, without a doubt, God carried us all the way through it. And I know that due to the testimony of my mum and dad and my grandma and granddad, that they continue to be a family together. Which brings me on to the love and support from my family, when I can say that the Lizzie Mint in me certainly pushed those boundaries when I was a teenager. I'm not going to go in all those because my mum and dad are going to be listening to this. God might have forgiven me, but I'll probably get in trouble with my mum and dad if I mention some of the things that I got up to. In 1984, and I was just getting ready, I was 16, just getting ready to sit my O-levels, I got pregnant. That's me at probably about eight months pregnant. Deborah clearly was feeling the tiredness that I had. So that's me and Deborah in Deborah's bed. Just to set the record straight, we didn't share a bed. We always shared a bedroom. And I have to say, very, very few crosswords. And I take no credit in that whatsoever. As you can imagine, if Deborah had a personality like me, then yes, there would have been crosswords. But we didn't. When you have parents and grandparents, who incidentally, my grandma and granddad, the first thing they said when my mum and dad told them that I was pregnant, they just said, well, if you're kicking Joanne out, then she's coming and living with us. They stand by you, support you and love you through situations such as this. How much more does God, our Father, do this for every single one of us, no matter what? It was during this year, in 84, I started to attend church here. As my mum and dad had already moved here, they'd moved churches. But that's their story to tell. So, Stuart, when you're on your rounds, if you get them, then I'm sure they'll tell you how they started to come here. It may sound odd to say, but by removing myself from the teenage life that I was living and having to be a responsible parent at just turned 17, it felt good and very natural to come here and be who I was. God knew the plan. After having Matthew in 84, which has just reminded me, actually, seeing Chris over there, this is not on my notes, but Dave and Kath Leather were very good friends with my mum and dad, and Chris won't thank me for this, but not long after I'd had Matthew, Kath used to come around quite a lot and see how we were getting on, and Chris was running around looking at baby Matthew, just with his nappy on. It was in the summer. He just had his nappy, nothing else. And who'd have thought 40 years later he would be here with his own family? But yeah, God does have a plan, doesn't he? Sorry, Chris. So I decided to attend the youth meetings here with Catherine, Jane and all the youths. I was being taught about things that I'd not really considered properly before. I'm sure I've been heard, I've been taught them about the Holy Spirit, but not having that proper understanding or that experience. It was one of the youth meetings in the vestry here that I was baptised in the Holy Spirit. And I was so excited, I couldn't wait to get home. I drove home to tell my mum and dad. But in the excitement, and this is something that always sticks in my mind, I forgot to call it the chippy on the way home for supper, and I got in trouble for not bringing the chips home. And all I wanted to do was tell them that I'd been baptised in the Holy Spirit. I also proclaimed my faith, and I was baptised in water at Tilsabaths with others from the fellowship. So now I felt I was in the right place, on the right path, and right with God. I don't remember, Jane, one of the sketches we used to do in Jane was right with God. It was a game we played, wasn't it? And that just made me smile when I said that. I'm sure we had good times, didn't we, in the youth then. I can now clearly remember lying in my bed at home, in my shared bedroom with Deborah. Matthew got his own little room. My mum and dad built him his own bedroom. But yeah, me and Debbie still shared a bedroom. And I remember thinking, okay, and I said to God, things are good, but I don't want to be on my own with Matthew for the rest of my life, and I want a husband. And God clearly told me, well, he ain't going to come knocking on the door, Joanne. You need to do something about it. So, and I very, very clearly remember him saying that. So I just thought, okay then, but who's going to want me with a young son? So off I went to Blackpool on the IM Young People's Weekend. And sure enough, walk along the prom was this chap called Todd, who we now know as Thomas or whatever, but he was called Todd. Straight away, I knew this was the one for me. And as I've often said, it took him a few more months to come to the same conclusion. I think it was February for the YP conference, and it was July when we first started going out. So he had a few months to think about it. I started going to Impact at Blakely Church with Grace, who used to come here. And to be honest, it was in the hope of seeing that Tom would go there, because he actually went to the same meeting. So there's a bit of method in my madness, really. And yes, the plan worked. And clearly God does have a sense of humour. Look who he sent for me. And that photograph, looking at it, is literally right here, because the flowers were here. And so we had that was on our wedding day. It was at Impact that I got to know a nice bunch of folks. And at one of the meetings, I remember an extremely young guitarist talking about his girlfriend who lived in Liverpool. And I thought, well, if that can work from other side of Manchester to Liverpool, Tom lived in Oldham at the time, that's not quite as far for me to travel, so I'm sure we can make it work if they can. And that's these two sat at the back, by the way. We will be celebrating our 35-year anniversary in November. It hasn't been plain sailing as we hit rock bottom a number of years ago. And I have a vivid memory of sitting right here on a Sunday morning, and we were singing the song that I've chosen to sing after my bit. And I was feeling totally on my own, even though God has sent angels to help and care for me during this very tough time. Because that is a loving and caring God we have. So I cried out to God. And at that moment, I forgave Tom. and God gave me peace and a hope that all will be well. That didn't mean that life would now be an easy ride. Far from it. My family's experience, my dad recovering from cancer, Matthew, our eldest son, his marriage breakup, and the passing of our fifth grandson, Button. So, yeah, it doesn't mean that we get an easy ride on things at all. But it really does make you wonder what state we would be in if we didn't have God to lift us up and carry us through these times. So this has been a little bit of my story, but the parts that have been on my mind to share today. And somehow I've gone from this Lizzie Mint up here to being a responsible adult, having this motley crew. So that's the rest of our family. And to close, I just want to, at this point, just to mention about the young ones in our church. And what made me think about this was how I came here, and I got teaching, and not that, you know, I'm saying I didn't get that when I was at St. Philip's Church, but I just want to mention about the young ones in our church and our families, and how important it is to pray for them, nurture them, and encourage them in the love of God, that they might know God's plan in their life. I'm so grateful for the love and care I received when I came here to church. Totally accepted, you know, coming as a teenage single mum. Auntie Annie, Auntie Lucy, they took me under the wing as well. Matthew's prayer partner was Sarah, Jane's mum. It meant so much that she was praying for him. I mean, all our family did, but the children at the church then, they all got a prayer partner out of, like, the family circle. And boy, did Matthew need it. The teaching that they received in Sunday school, I think about Geoffrey in the classes and all the time he spent with our older young ones, because he took the teenagers, didn't he, and the teaching that they received. And the time taken by so many within the church to talk and minister to our children. So my last slide is just the verse that I started with at the beginning. And this was drawn by our head librarian, Chloe. This was my birthday gift last year. My dad put it in a frame for me, so I got it up on the wall. And it's just a reminder, really, that, you know, we've got our young ones in the church, and, you know, please do pray and remember them.